Luke chapter 2, if you would, please. Today is the culmination of our Sunday morning messages on prayer. We've completed it, amen, after today, and what a blessing. So we'll go ahead and begin. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to begin in verse 21. If you'll join me on the even verses as we go through this very familiar passage of Scripture and very unique passage of Scripture. We're going to read through verse 38, and then we'll get on with the rest of the program this morning. But I'll begin in verse 21, and you can join me out loud on the even verses after that. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she also was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had... We're done. Okay. I'm just like reading. Amen. They departed and they heard all these things. They went to Nazareth. Okay. And then the wise men came. That's another message. All right. 2 years later. But how many of you put your wise men separate in your manger scenes? Yeah, amen. Good. You should. Well, we've been talking about prayer all year long and many, many different things. And I want you to pay attention. How many of you have read this story about Simeon and Anna? Many times in Scripture. How many of you have ever found this a curious display or story or account as these two people have given themselves to the Lord, if you will, are there at the temple. They're full of the Holy Ghost of God. And they of course, are there at the right time, right, to experience all of this. It's all orchestrated by the hand of God. But it brings to culmination something, and we're going to talk about it. And we've already talked about answered prayer before. We've talked about heard prayer. We've talked about continual prayer and not fainting. And we're going to mention, I'm going to touch into some of those things again. But what I want to encourage you with today and to help us to see, if you look at the text once again, we see here that Simeon was there. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had been told by the Holy Ghost that he would see
Jesus Christ, the Messiah, okay? And you know that the consolation of Israel, it simply means, consolation means what consolation means, okay? It means peace, it means the restoration, it means, you know, it's the consoling consolation. That's what Jesus the Messiah was supposed to bring. But he was there, and we know that he was an old man, and because he was, if you will, waiting to die, and in his prayer, he blesses God and he thanks God, and he tells God, I'm ready to go now. And so, you know, even though we're not given his age, we're led to believe that he's an older man, and has been waiting, by the way, for some time for the consolation of Israel to come. And by the way, I don't know when the Holy Ghost told him. Do you? It doesn't say, does it? It could, let's say he was, when he was 40, serving in the temple, the Holy Ghost revealed to him, that this would come and he would see it. Well, okay, 50 comes, it's not here, 60 comes, it's not here, 70 comes, it's not here. Maybe he's 80, maybe he's 85, maybe he's 90. I don't know how old the man is. Okay? But he's old. Okay? And he still hasn't seen it. But now he finally sees it. Anna, we're told about her and her life a little bit, how she had been married. She was with a husband 7 years, and then he died, and she was a widow 44 years. And she'd given herself to the service of the Lord, fastings and prayer, night and day. Okay, she comes in an instant. By the way, how do you think she knew? Holy Ghost, right? And she comes in. By the way, she likewise had been praying for this as well. And we're told how old she is. It tells us that she was of great age, and etc. And she was a widow about 84 years. And so, you know, so she's been around the block probably several times, but she's older as well, waiting again for these answers to prayer. And that's kind of the culmination I want to speak about today, and just using these two and many others as an example. But prayer isn't just always an instantaneous thing. And we're going to talk about some instances where the answers are performing what was intended or accomplishing and fulfilling the request. That's what an answer to prayer is. Doesn't always come when we think it should, or when we think it would. And it doesn't always come in an instant. Sometimes it comes later, and sometimes it comes much, much later. And then there are instances, even in history, where it comes long after we're gone. But it still comes. And I'm not even talking about a yes answer, because we've already talked about that, that sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says maybe, sometimes God says nothing, you know, but all of those are answers. they just may not be the answers you like. But even when God does say yes, for instance, like this, in Psalm 91:5, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Okay? That's all great, right? So God says, I will answer. I will deliver. Let me ask you a question. When? Does it say when? Doesn't say when. How about this one? Seek the Lord continually, and his strength. Seek his face continually, right? Okay, great. But when will he answer? Don't know. Ask. Oh, this is a good one. We all like this one. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. When? Is there a when in there? No when. Okay. Pray without ceasing. Answer? Okay. And I say unto you, ask and, oh, this is Luke 9, and shall be given you, and I already read that one in John. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Period. Don't you love that? I've told you this before. as a father, I try to keep myself out of trouble. Okay, that's a good thing to do. I try. And so many times, and almost every time that I say that I'm going to accomplish something, I know myself and my difficulty in always accomplishing something, okay? So I try to protect myself, and I don't give a when. I do that on purpose. And you know, people complain, or they may say something, and they may bring it up. Well, you said you were going to do something. Okay, yes, I did. And they said, well, you haven't done it. I said, did I tell you when I would do it?
No.
Now, I have to admit that I should follow through with things more often, or maybe sooner than I do. But I'm not God, right? God gets to decide the when. We don't get to decide the when. He said, well, God, that's not fair. Don't ask for that, okay? You really don't want that. Okay? You don't want what's fair. I promise you. I teach in my college classes about fair. I teach teachers that, I make comments that teachers should be fair, and then I supplement it by saying, really I mean more equitable than fair, because fair is really tough. Okay? You may not like fair. Because truth be told, if God were fair, we'd all be burning in hell, okay? So we don't want that, all right? And really, how many of you have maybe experienced the grace and mercy of God when He should have passed judgment upon you, right? Yeah, you don't want fair, okay? I promise you, you don't want fair, okay? So don't say to God, that's not fair, because God is, if you will, more than fair, right? And sometimes He is long-suffering, and I hate to say this way, but He isn't fair with us, and you should be thankful for that, is what I mean by that, okay? Because if He really gave us what we deserved, we'd be in trouble, okay? That's all I want to say about that. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is, God gets to decide the when. So as we talk about answered prayer and when God answers prayer, that's what we want to focus on today. Because we've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about devoting ourselves to prayer. We've been talking about even this thing, and I appreciate Brother Camp putting in, next week you guys are going to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, okay? And I'll be watching along, and we'll sing it together, okay? And I hope that you can, and maybe even one time this year, have experienced a sweet hour of prayer. I mean, literally and really. So you can sing that song with gusto, and you can sing that song with an actual knowledge of an hour of prayer. I hope that's the case. But anyways, as we look to what God does for us, He is an answerer of prayer. He is faithful to answer. He is faithful to deliver, but in His time. We sing that song, right? In His time. In His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, right? And we listen to songs like that, and we sing songs like that. But then when it comes to prayer, we don't practice that in our faith and in our belief of God. You know, in our scriptures, we see several examples, and I'm going to hasten through these if I can. But we need to consider how old these people were and how long they waited for their answer to prayer. Do you see the excitement? Go back to the text here today, if you would, please, and look at the excitement, if you will, and the expectation that these two individuals had. First, we have Simeon. And by the way, Simeon, many scholars believe that this was a specific individual of great note in Jerusalem. Some believe he was the son of a man named Hillel, who was given a title of Rabban, the highest title they gave to their doctors and scholars, and only given to seven of them. This is coming from what Matthew Henry has to say about the history of this man, Simeon. But some believe that his father co-founded the Great Sanhedrin, and they also believe that Simeon was the father of Gamaliel. Remember that guy? Right? Paul talked about him sitting at his feet, studying. And by the way, Gamaliel was the one also that when they were, you know, beating up and chastening the disciples, he said, look, maybe you should let him alone, because if it's of God, you're not going to be able to fight against it. And if it's not of God, it'll just dissipate and go away. Okay, so that's that Gamaliel. And many believe that this man Simeon was his dad. Okay? And so we see that about him. But no matter who he was, which he may have been all those things, or he may have been none of those things, but he was in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit of God was upon him, that he was a faithful servant in the temple. And by the way, this I love how the story is revealed, because it tells us that when they come on that particular day, by the way, he's circumcised, right? 8 days, the purification comes. They bring him to the temple. They bring the sacrifices like they're supposed to. And he's there, right? This one that the Holy Spirit told would see the consolation of Israel, would see the Messiah in person before he died. And by the way, look at verse 27. He came by the capital S Spirit into the temple. So God is in this man's life. No matter who he is, and no matter what his pedigree, if you will, or his genealogies and all those things, he is in tune with God. He's in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. He has allowed this to dictate his life. And the Spirit led him into the temple, right? The Spirit told him that we can see. So you know this man was one with God, if you will. He was in communion with God. He was in prayer. It doesn't say that in word, but it says it in action. This man is close to God. And we don't know how long he's been waiting, but we do know that he finally gets his answer. And he's excited about it. You see, folks, we've got to realize that no matter how long it takes, we must continue, as the Bible says before, instant in prayer. We've talked about that before, right? And we need to continue continually instant in prayer, no matter how long it takes to get an answer. Anna, likewise, if you skip down here, she's introduced in verse 36. It says here that she was a prophetess, a daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Folks, she prayed night and day. She fasted night and day. For how long? For a long time. All right, she had served in the temple over 40 years there, and she was a servant, and she came in instant and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What had she been seeking for? Redemption in Israel, right? She in Jerusalem. She had been seeking for it. She probably been on her knees and fasting and prayers night and day for God to bring this to them. And now her prayers are being answered. In both of these cases, we see the great fervor. We see the great in-tuneness with God and with the Holy Spirit. We see really all of the elements that we've been talking about all these months about prayer come to culmination in the life of two people, but that had waited for a long time for an answer. And that's what I kind of want to help us to grab hold of today, is it may take a long time. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but raise your heart, okay? How many of you have either something or many somethings that you've been praying for a very long time? And still no answer. Yeah? Can I tell you something? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't just say, well, it's not worth it. And by the way, if these two would have given up, if Simeon wouldn't have been where he was supposed to be and following the Holy Spirit like he was supposed to be, if Anna had decided to you know, take a vacation day and go to the Dead Sea for a float, you know, you laugh. are all those things possible? I mean, you know how much I love divine appointments instead of coincidences, right? I mean, think about it. This child is born in God's timing. His parents follow the law and they bring him. How do these people know when he's supposed to come to the temple? Or what day and what time? Maybe she was on a coffee break, you know, getting a bagel and a donut, you know, and a coffee, and missed the dedication of the Lord Jesus. Do you understand that? I mean, for her to be able to come in instantly and receive this answer for the redemption of Jerusalem, and for Simeon to be there, you know, he could have been taking a nap. Who knows? But they weren't. God brought all this together and gave them an answer in his time. Now, as we look ahead to these things, let's go to Psalm 143, if you would, please. We've looked at David before, and I want to just look at a couple passages here before we get into these things. And by the way, this is all introduction. The introduction is the longest part of the message today, so we'll get to the 3 points real quick here. But look at David's heart here in Psalm 143, and if you catch the tone of this, you'll understand that David is basically crying out or begging God to answer him. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, and as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Now, did you hear the tone of David there? And he uses these words, and it makes it sound like he hasn't heard an answer from God for a very long time. And he says, "God, if you don't answer me now, I'm gonna fail. My heart's gonna fail. I'm going to fall. I'm going to go down into the pit like the others. And God, I've got to hear from you. I've got to have an answer." By the way, how many of you have ever felt like that? You think it just the end of everything is coming up, and you're crying out to God and you're begging God for an answer. And it's almost like God's not hearing you, and you're just begging him, "God, hear me. Why won't you hear me, God?" Right? And the answer doesn't come. Does that mean that God's not listening? No. It just means it's not time yet. You see, who gets to decide that? He does. He does. Psalm 62, something similar, David says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." Now, if you notice here, his tone is a little different, right? A little more confident. Not as agitated or not as desperate. But he says here, "I shall not be greatly moved." This is Psalm 62. "How long," he says, "will ye imagine mischief against a man? Yea, shall he be slain, ye shall be slain, all of you, as bowing, a bowing wall ye shall be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So he's speaking more of a confidence that God will answer him, rather than a desperation of God, I need you to answer or I'm going to fail, right? There's a little bit different tone here. So you see, even in David's life, you could keep reading over this psalm and other psalms, you see the ebbs and flows or the ups and downs that he goes through. He goes through all different responses, right, and emotions in his life of prayer. Don't we all? Right? And listen, but no matter where it goes, God is our refuge. He is our salvation. He is our rock of strength. We need to trust him. And verse 8 of this, kind of Psalm 62, if you're still there, it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Okay, so he says, trust God at all times. Pour out your heart before him. He's your refuge. He is your strength. He is your salvation. He's your rock. He's the only one that you can rely on, no matter what the timing may be, in all times. And so as we pray, we must pray. We must never grow weary of prayer. We must never think of leaving it off, because when we do quit, then we quit. You understand? Does that make sense to you? I know that's kind of simple. But we need to be continually in prayer. We're encouraged to do that. We're supposed to pray and not to faint. We're supposed to do these things. And we're supposed to do it even if the answer doesn't come right away. Now, as I said, we're going to look at this very quickly and very simply. Sometimes we get quick answers or instant answers. And by the way, how many of you would be willing to admit those are the ones you like best? Right? The instant answers are our favorite, right? Because we get them when? Now! We get them now! And how many of you like to have your answers to prayer now? Yes, okay? It's kind of like Christmas, right? How many of you want to open your Christmas presents now? Who wants to wait? Boo, okay. All right. No, we don't want to wait, right? And so and by the way, we're kind of a microwave society, right? We want everything now, right? Or as I like to call it, the Burger King society. We want it our way and we want it now. Although Burger King is one of those ones that takes a long time to deliver. How many of you have been to Burger King, right? They take a long time, don't they? Yeah, they do. That's okay. Flame broiled. It takes time, you know? But, quick answers. We like the quick answers. So here's some quick answers. Remember this one in Acts chapter 4? They begin to pray. They say this, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. By the way, this is great. They're praying, right? They're banding together as the disciples there in Jerusalem. They've just been persecuted by the Pharisees, and they get out of that meeting and they go to the Lord, right? This is epic, right? This is absolute power of prayer here. And they get together and they're having a big prayer meeting, and it says these words, and when they had prayed, comma. You know what a comma means? A short space. Not a period. A period is final, right? It's an end of something. This is just a comma, because they had prayed and boom! Right? It's here. It says here that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What did they pray for? They prayed for that. When did they get it? Right now. Woo! That's the kind of prayer we all like, isn't it? Instant prayer. I mean, just, you know, you open the oatmeal packet, you put it in the bowl, add your quarter cup of water, throw in the microwave, and bing, you got oatmeal. It's amazing. Right? Or how many of you enjoy what we call in our family paper bacon? How many of you like, you know what I'm talking about, paper bacon? It's the stuff that's already cooked and it's already on sheets of wax paper, you know, the parchment paper. It's already there. All you got to do is just kind of throw it in the microwave. Brother Camp put it on there for 5 seconds. I put it on there for about a minute because he likes his paper bacon floppy, I'm sure. Right? Yeah. The only difference between us is I'm a little more patient with my bacon to allow it to crisp. He's impatient about bacon. So that, right? Isn't that about it? Floppy bacon, people are impatient. They just want to eat the bacon faster. Okay, amen. instant gratification. We love that, don't we? As people. Remember Paul and Silas? They prayed at midnight, right? They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and then I love this. And the next day, the next week, a month and a half into their sentence, and suddenly, boy, they're singing, big prayer meeting, Paul and Silas in the middle of the prison, and boom, answer to prayer. Instant answers to prayer. By the way, great things came of that, right? Remember in 1 Kings, when Elijah's praying and he prays, by the way, not a very long prayer. Is it 54 words, right? Is that right? 64, 54, I don't know, I can't remember. Go count them, it's not very many. But he prays. By the way, the prophets of Baal have been praying all morning, cutting themselves, right? And I love how cool Elijah, he's just sitting back there mocking them, making fun of them. You know, I can imagine him sitting in a lawn chair with a glass of iced tea with one of those little umbrellas in it, you know. His straw hat, the shades on. They didn't have those things back then, but I told you my mind does funny things to me. Okay, but you just sit back there. He pops up out of his chair, right? He goes over to the altar. He gets the others to do his work for him. He soaks the thing, lays the all out and everything, and then he goes to prayer. And what happens? It says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell. I mean, he says that he doesn't even say amen. And there's the fire. Instantaneous. Mark chapter 5. Remember the woman who had an issue of blood? Now, as far as we know, we assume that she's devout in the Jewish faith, and so she probably had prayed for this. So she may have waited a long time, but I want to use it in this sense of instancy because she had a thought. She heard of Jesus, heard that he was in her town. She said, if I just touch him, I can be healed. Now, she had this issue of blood for 12 years. She had suffered many things, Mark tells us, at the hand of many physicians. She had spent all of her money. She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's what it says about her. And she said, here's what it says. I'll just read it to you. You can make your own judgment. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So it almost sounds like she hadn't heard of Jesus before, doesn't it? If you read it that way. So here she is. She's in this particular city. She, as far as we know, hasn't heard of Jesus. Doesn't know. That's how I'm taking this, okay? And she hears of him because the noise of him had scattered, spread abroad and come before. So she's hearing, you know, oh, this person was raised from the dead. This person was healed of this. This person was in. And so she begins to formulate this thing. She comes in behind the throng there, and she has this thing that she has instantaneously formatted in her mind. If I could just touch his garment, I'll be healed. As far as we know, this all came to fruition that instant that she heard about this. And she comes in and she does it. And guess what? A year later, she's healed. No. Right now. And that's what we see sometimes happen. Now, obviously, there are, by the way, it says, and straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. When? Straightway. And so, sometimes we see these things come to fruition in an instant. By the way, how many of you have had instant answers to prayer? Amen, right? And aren't those grand? They're wonderful. But is that always the case? Okay, so sometimes there's instant answers to prayer. Sometimes there's intermediate answers to prayer. Right? What do I mean by that? Well, maybe it takes a day or two or a week or a month or, you know, maybe up to a year, right? Maybe a little bit longer period of time. For instance, how about this one? Acts chapter 16 tells us of the apostles as they're going around, Paul and his company. It says they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia. This is the beginning of verse 6. And were forbidden, if you will, by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Okay, so they're going around preaching, starting churches, right? And they're told in communication with God not to go to Asia to preach. So they're seeking God's face, right? They're seeking for guidance, for leadership, and where they should minister. And then it says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. So it says they're traveling. By the way, how long did travel take back then to go to these different countries? A longer time than an instant, right? So they're seeking and they're praying and they're probably in communion with each other trying to figure out where God wants them to minister. And they're looking for an answer. And the Spirit suffered them not to go there. And this is, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. So here they're seeking. They're going, okay, well, we're not getting an answer here, so let's go here. We're not getting an answer here, let's go here. And God says no to that. And so they're searching. It could have been weeks, could have been days, could have been months. But finally they get an answer. And the answer comes, and there stood a man, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So you understand that they received an answer, but they stayed faithful to pray. They stayed faithful to seek God. They stayed faithful to serve him in the meantime. And by the way, folks, sometimes it takes a little while. Now, how many of us, we don't have any problem with instant answers? Wave at me. Right? No problem with instant answers. Great, right? Okay? How many of you, you don't have any problem with intermediate answers? A day, a week, a month, right? You're okay with that, right? Because that's tolerable. Is that tolerable? Or some of you are that impatient? Okay, all right, well, I'm sorry. I'm assuming something then. I think you can handle a day or a week, right? Or maybe a month. Okay, not a year. Year's too long. We'll go tops a month. Are you okay with a month? Okay, good, all right. So that's what I'm kind of talking about with intermediate answers. Look at Acts chapter 12 if you want. Here's another intermediate answer. Remember, Herod starts to vex the church, right? And he sees some good results from this in his polling, right? His popularity, he's trying to boost the satisfaction rating of his service there, in Palestine. So it says here when he had apprehended, he killed James, right? And that made the people happy. So he thought, well, hey, I killed one disciple of Christ. I can grab another one and double my efforts here, right? And so he grabs Peter, puts him in prison, and delivers him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. All right? So we don't know exactly how long of a time this was. But we do know that it was a duration. Okay? Because here's why. Remember when he gets out of prison by the angel helping him out, right? And he comes to the door. What had the people assumed had happened? He's dead. It's his ghost, right? Okay? So this had taken, if you will, some time. We don't know. It could have been days. It could have been a couple of days. It could have been several days. It could have been up to a week. It could have been up to a month. We don't know exactly. But the point is, they were praying for a while, and then the answer came. So there are other examples. You have, we don't know how long Jonah was in the whale, right? Well, we do know it was 3 days, three nights, right? Exactly. But when did he begin to pray? We don't know if it was a day into being in there or 2 days into. But he prayed and then he was spit out, right? I mean, it wasn't instantaneous necessarily. There are other examples where things were not so instantaneous, but they took some time to develop or took some time for God to answer their prayers. So intermediate times we're generally okay with. That brings us to the last one, and that's the long-awaited answers. Kind of like Simeon, kind of like Anna. Sometimes there are long-awaited answers. Now, I want to use some of these as examples here, and these may not have been a year. These may not have been so long, but they were long-awaited answers. One of them is over in Daniel chapter 10. I've used this before to make note of something, but this is a long-awaited answer. And you understand, though, the importance of tarrying or not fainting for the long-awaited answers. So the angel comes with an answer to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, in verses 12 through 14. He says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." It says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Okay, so this was only like 22 days of prayer, but by the way, that's a long time to pray sometimes, right? Here's what he says about Daniel. He says this, that the prince withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So we know Daniel continued to pray, and he continued to seek an answer from God for at least 21 days, 22 days perhaps, and to get an answer. Remember, I told you about David. David said in Psalm 13, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever?" Think about that. Just that statement alone. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? And then he says, forever? Now, don't raise your hand now, but how many of you have felt that way? And we're talking about long-awaited answers of prayer. Now I'm talking about a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I've told you before about my friend, Pastor Tom Davis, over, he's in Alvarado, a Central Baptist church, as a pastor there. He was on staff with me at Trinity when I was first there, and we often, every staff meeting, we prayed for his parents to be saved. For years. And it wasn't until, I would say probably around 20 in the teens, maybe 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever, that his dad got saved first and then his mom finally got saved. And they were both up in age, 70s, 80s, 80 years old. And he had prayed since he got saved when he was a teenager at Pot of Gold Youth Camp. And he had been praying for his parents to be saved that whole time. That's a long time to pray, folks, and to wait for an answer. You can read stories about missionaries all over the world who prayed for God to do a work. And by the way, in some of those cases, God never did a work in their lifetime, but only after they were dead and gone did that work start to sprout and give fruit. You have to understand, sometimes we feel this way, like David felt. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Listen to what he says. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Doesn't that sound like a long time to you? It does. It does. In the book of Revelation, we're told about some folks. It says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So these are the martyrs, right? It says they had, and they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Right? How long? Folks, our God is long-suffering, right? He's slow to anger, slow to wrath. We understand that. But sometimes he's slow to answer. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You know, I've told you the story about the man. I want to say his name was Darby. I think his last name was Darby. I may have that wrong, but you can fact check me later, okay? But whatever the case may be, he was a businessman. He was during the gold rushes of our country's history. He decides to go, you know, he gets the gold fever, decides to go out there and give his hand at it. Gets a claim, things necessary, starts digging, has a little success, you know, little bits here and there, just to keep him stringing along. Comes down to where he's got to make a decision. I either sink the rest that I have into this and go for it all, or I have enough to get back on my feet back east and give up this nonsense. Okay? So he decides to give it up and go back. By the way, he gives it up. He goes back. He's once and becomes a successful insurance man, etc. Well, he sells his claim and all his stuff left over for scrap to a junk dealer. And so the junk dealer comes out to check on his investment, you know, what he had bought and stuff. And he decides to, you know, just fiddle around a little bit. He goes 3 more feet from where this man stopped and strikes the biggest gold strike in the history of the gold strikes. 3 feet. So Mr. Darby, of course, I think that's his name, I said, heard about this, and he had a sign made 3 feet long that says, I'll never quit again. You know, you sometimes you have to go through things like that. But don't stop 3 feet short of your answers to prayer. Don't quit. Don't give up. God wants us to pray and not to faint. Go over to Luke 18. We'll close this morning. Now, I promise you, I just looked at my watch a minute ago and it was 12 o'clock. Okay, well, we're done. Here we go. I've preached this before, so I'm just going to mention it. Luke 18, look at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now the parable tells us about this widow, and she came. It says there that he would not for a while, but afterwards said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me. By the way, it would have had to have been a very long time that she troubles him. We do not know how long God will do what he says he's going to do. But we've got to keep at it. He told us that parable in verses 1 through 8 so that men would always pray and not to faint. So we cannot give up on the long-awaited answers to prayer. We must keep praying. We must keep pleading with God. We must keep be willing to say, oh, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me? Forever? And by the way, you're not criticizing God. You're just asking him, how long am I going to have to wait? And by the way, when David does that, he says, I'm going to keep praying. And I'm gonna keep doing this because God is the one that is my salvation. He's the one that's my refuge. He's the one that I can trust. And by the way, you can express some sentiments of emotion and ask God, how long are you gonna wait to answer me? But then say, God, I trust you. I'm gonna keep praying, God. I'm gonna keep going to you in prayer because I know that you are the one that's faithful in prayer and faithful to answer. Can I tell you, church, God will answer you sometime. It may be instant, it may be intermediate, or it may be a long time from now. But you will get an answer. Why? Because he's faithful. He's God. He loves you. You just have to realize that your time frame is not his time frame. That your understanding of things is not his understanding of things. And God knows what you're going through. He can be trusted.